Christ is risen. Now, poor. The response is, he is risen indeed. Hallelujah. Okay? Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. We join together to celebrate the resurrection of Jesus, that he defeated death, having taken our sin, defeated death, and conquered it. And we meet with Christians all around the world today as we celebrate the resurrection victory of our Lord Jesus. And we're going to sing songs and to hear together, just again reminding us again of all that happened as we remember Easter Day. We do come today, if you've heard in the news this morning, maybe in your car on the way here, of the deaths in Sri Lanka. There have been a whole lot of explosions at churches in Sri Lanka as Christians celebrated Easter Day, some 140 killed. And we want to remember them in our prayers as well. We give thanks, we realise that there are those who will be in mourning already on today, on this day. So let me pray and commit our time to God, and we give thanks, and then we'll begin to sing. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you today that we can celebrate Jesus' victory over death. Thank you that he came and took our sins and died in our place and rose again victorious on the third day. We do thank you that we can join with Christians right around the world in celebrating his victory. And we thank you that because he has conquered death, we know that if we trust in him, that we too will conquer death and go to live with you eternally. So we give you thanks for that great victory which he won, and for the opportunity to celebrate together this morning. And Father, we do, as we worship this morning, remember Christians in so many countries of the world who can't meet to worship freely, who meet in secret or can't meet at all. We pray that they too in their hearts will know the joy of the resurrection. And Father, we do remember our brothers and sisters in Sri Lanka. We pray for those who have been bereaved. And we pray for those who have been injured. We ask that they will get treatment quickly and recover. And we pray that you will be their strength and their support this morning as we worship you here in Jesus' name. Amen. Just on that theme, out on the table under the stairs, you see the World Watch List 2019. That's the booklet that Open Doors produce every year with the 50 countries where it's most dangerous or most difficult to be a Christian. And actually, Sri Lanka is on that list. So take one of those, and you'd be amazed at some of the countries mentioned there, and be praying for our brothers and sisters in some of those different countries. We're going to stand together and join our first song. It's one great song of praise. See what a morning as we celebrate Jesus' resurrection from the dead.
Please stand with us if you're able.
Right.
Please take your seats.
This reading is taken from Luke 22, 39 to 42. Jesus went out as usual to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples followed him. On reaching the place, he said to them, "Pray that you will not fall into temptation." He withdrew about a stone's throw from them, knelt down and prayed, "Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me.
So before we come back to the tomb, we want to wind the clock back, because to really understand what it means that there was an empty tomb on Easter Sunday, we have to understand what happened before the empty tomb. I want to wind the clock all the way back, not to be in a tomb, but to be in a garden. And I wonder, have you ever faced a moment when you faced a big decision, faced a big worry, when you're really worried about something that you have to do, and you have to decide, will I do it or will I not? Maybe you're worried about an exam. Maybe you're worried about a test, a sports day, or worried about an interview or something in your work or in your family. And you're really worried and you think, can I do this? Can I get through this next moment? And we see a man in a garden and he faces a moment like that, a big dilemma. Faces something that he's going to go through, which makes him so, so worried. And take any worries that we've ever had, any worries we've ever had about anything, and you can times it by 10, times it by 100, times it by 1,000, what he was about to go through, the worry that he faced, the stress that he was under. And the man we're thinking about, of course, is Jesus. And in the garden, Jesus is faced with a huge dilemma. And what he is facing is this. Jesus is faced with a cup. You might think, well, what's so bad about a cup? But let me tell you about the cup that Jesus faces. Jesus prays to his Father, "Father, if you're willing, take this cup from me." He is so worried about facing what this cup means. How can a cup make someone so worried? What can be so stressful or so worrisome about a cup? Well, the cup that Jesus faced, the cup that Jesus had to endure, wasn't really a nice glass cup like this. But the cup was the punishment for all of the bad things that we had ever done. The cup of God's wrath, you might say. But the cup was filled with all of the bad things that we had ever done. So in our lives, whenever we say something that's not true, this fills the cup. Whenever we say things to people that are hurtful, or do things to people that are hurtful and make us feel good, it fills the cup. Whenever we don't give God the thanks and the praise that he deserves, because he is the one who made every single one of us and he deserves all that we have, the cup is filled. Every time we disobey God, this cup gets fuller and fuller. And what this cup is the punishment for all the bad things that we have done. And Jesus faces this cup, faces the punishment for all of the wrong things, not just that I have done, but that every single person in this room has done. And the worst of it is, my cup is full, because I've done so many, even this morning, things not giving God thanks, worrying about this service instead of trusting God that he isn't the one who's in control. My cup is full of punishment for all the things that I have done. But Jesus' cup is empty, because he never did anything to fill the cup. Jesus was perfect. He never did anything wrong. So Jesus faces taking the punishment, not just for my sins, but for all of our sins, of all people who ever lived. And that's why Jesus is worried. That's why he is stressed. That's why he is afraid. And he says, Father, if you're willing, if there's any other way, if there's any way for me not to have to take this cup, Father, if you're willing, take this cup from me. But that wasn't the end of Jesus' prayer, because Jesus knows that this is his Father's will. And so he says, "Never, yet not my will, but yours be done." Jesus faces taking the punishment for all of our sins. And he says to his Father, Father, if this is your will, not my will, but yours be done.
This reading is taken from Luke chapter 22, verse 47. While he was still speaking, there came a crowd, and the man called Judas, one of the 12, was leading them.
Let's remember this story now and praise our heavenly King who came to serve us and bear our burden. Please stand with us.
Next reading is from Mark 15, verses 16 to 20, and Mark 15, verses 25 to 32. The soldiers led Jesus away into the palace, that is, the praetorium, and called together the whole company of soldiers. They put a purple robe on him, then twisted together a crown of thorns and set it on him. And they began to call out to him, "Hail, King of the Jews!" Again and again they struck him on the head with a staff and spit on him. Falling on their knees, they paid homage to him. And when they had mocked him, they took off the purple robe and put his own clothes on him. Then they led him out to crucify him. It was 9 in the morning when they crucified him. The written notice of the charge against him read, "The King of the Jews." They crucified two rebels with him, one on his right and one on his left. Those who passed by hurled insults at him, shaking their heads and saying, "So, you who are going to destroy the temple and build it in 3 days, come down from the cross and save yourself."
So while Jesus was in the garden praying, he was praying that God might take that cup away from him. As he was there, suddenly there appeared a crowd of people with Judas, one of Jesus' disciples, leading them. And Judas went over to kiss Jesus, and the crowd who were with him, some soldiers and some leaders of the Jews, immediately grabbed Jesus and arrested him. And they took him off to the high priest's house. And all Jesus' friends were terrified, and they all fled. They all fled and hid. And Jesus was taken into the high priest's house and accused of all sorts of things. And he didn't say anything. But because the Jews wanted him put to death, they had to take him to the Roman governor's house. And so they took him along to Pilate. And he appeared before Pilate. And he was accused of all sorts of things again. And Pilate said, "I can't find anything wrong with this man. He's done nothing wrong. He's done nothing that deserves death." But the people shouted, "No, we have laws, and he's disobeyed those laws. He's broken those laws, and for that, he must be crucified. He must be put to death." And they shouted so much, and they kept going, and they kept going, and they persuaded Pilate. And so Pilate handed Jesus over to be crucified. And Pilate's soldiers began to make fun of Jesus. They put a robe on him, a purple robe, and they put a crown of thorns on his head. They tried to make him look like a king, and they mocked him, and they spat on him, and they beat him up, and he was tied up and whipped. And then he was led out and nailed to a cross, nails through his hands, nails through his feet, and placed in the ground and left to die. And when he was just died, one of the soldiers stuck a spear right in Jesus' side to make sure. But you know, that wasn't the worst thing that happened, because Jesus went to the cross and he was carrying that cup with all our sin in it. All the sin that we have done, which he hadn't done. All the things we said and done which are wrong. And at that moment, as Jesus died on the cross, all of your sins and all of my sins were poured out on Jesus. And all the wrong that we have done was poured on him. And the whole place became dark for 3 hours. And there was darkness between God and Jesus, because he was carrying your sin and my sin.
The next reading is from Mark chapter 15, verses 33 to 37. "And when the sixth hour had come, there was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour. And at the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, 'Eloi, Eloi, lema sabachthani,' which means, 'My God, why have you forsaken me?' And some of the bystanders, hearing it, said, 'Behold, he is calling Elijah.' And someone ran and filled a sponge with sour wine, put it on a reed, and gave it to him to drink, saying, 'Wait, let us see whether Elijah will come to take him down.' And Jesus uttered a loud cry and breathed his last."
Please stand with us as we remember that day that Jesus Christ took the blame and bore the wrath so that we could stand forgiven at the cross.
Man, torn and beaten man,
see the pain.
Oh, to see the pain written on your face. Bury me, your son, with our sin. Every bitter thought, every evil deed, run in your blood river. It's the
Our reading is taken from Matthew chapter 28, verse 1. In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn towards the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to see the sepulchre.
So the ladies come to the tomb to see where they have laid Jesus, and they are sad. If Jesus was worried in the garden, the women are sad because their son, Mary's son, and not just Mary's son, but their friend, their teacher, their hero, the one they thought was going to be their leader, the one they thought was going to be their hero forever and ever, their saviour, is dead. And he's gone. And they go in sadness, and they go maybe thinking, Jesus said all these things and they're not true. All the good things Jesus said, well, maybe they're not true because Jesus has died and it is the end. They go to the tomb, they're sad. And yet, whenever they come to the tomb, they see the big stone that the soldiers had put in front of the tomb to stop anybody getting in to the tomb to get Jesus' body. The stone, they notice, has been rolled away. And there are two men, not two ordinary men, but two men in flashing white, blazing white. And they come, and the men say something really strange. Say, why are you looking for the living among the dead? Because this, after the worry of the garden, after the pain and the suffering of the cross, when the cup that Jesus took was poured out on him, the truth is that when they come to the tomb is empty. The tomb is empty. And how is the tomb empty? The tomb is empty because the cup is empty, or mostly empty. The cup is empty. It's all gone. All of the punishment for the sin that I deserved, and for all those who trust in Jesus, the mission that Jesus came to this earth to do, to come to live a perfect life and to die and to take all of our sin upon himself, that cup is gone. Jesus' mission is fulfilled. It is finished. And so the cup is empty, the wrath is gone. For those who trust in Jesus, any punishment, any wrath, any condemnation, it is gone. The cup is empty, and so is the tomb, because Jesus is risen. He is risen. He is risen. Hallelujah.
And again in Matthew we read, and they departed quickly from the sepulchre with fear and great joy, and did run to bring the disciples word. And as they went to tell the disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, all hail. And they came and held him by his feet and worshipped him. Then said Jesus unto them, be not afraid, go tell my brethren. And they got into Galilee, go tell my brethren, and to go into Galilee, and there they shall meet me.
We're going to finish our service with a number of songs celebrating the resurrection hope. This song, Thine Be the Glory, has been sung by Christians for hundreds of years, and many of them now in glory. We join with them and lift our voices and praise him who also promises to raise us up on the last day. Please stand with us. Thine be the glory. We're going to read from John 11, verses 25 and 26. This is Jesus arriving after Lazarus has died and speaking to his two sisters, Mary and Martha. He said to Martha, "I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Do you believe this?" The next song we're going to sing is a song called Because He Lives. It is a song for anyone who is facing sickness or death or grief, or looking at the children in their lives, their children, their grandchildren, and tempted to fear for their future. But the message of the resurrection and of Jesus being alive and calling us to follow him and promising his presence with us means that we can face all these real challenges knowing that he is Lord, he is risen, and he promises to raise us up also. Please stand with us as we sing Because He Lives. God sent His Son, they call Him Jesus. He came to love, heal and forgive. He lived and died to buy my pardon. An empty grave is there to prove my Savior lives.
our voices now because he lives.
And because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know he holds the future.
One verse from Romans chapter 8, verse 34. Paul's speaking and he says, Who then is the one who condemns? No one. Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. The final hymn we're going to sing is When I Was Lost, You Came and Rescued Me. A hymn that reminds us that we no longer have to fear condemnation. Our guilt has been taken away. The old is gone. The new has come. He enables us by his Spirit to live in this new life. Please join with us When I Was Lost.
Take your seats. As we close our service, just a few bits of announcements or news at the end. Fast approaching is our Hollywood Help. Hollywood Help is a time whenever we go out as a churches in the community to help the community and serve. And so some young people, led by some older, wiser people, will be going out and doing any jobs that need done in the community. So if you live around Hollywood or know someone who lives around Hollywood, who could do with some handy jobs, DIY, gardening, or anything like that, and know of some jobs that somebody would really appreciate help with, let us know, let myself or Graham know. We would love to come around and help. And it's happening on Friday, this coming Friday, and Saturday. So if you know of any jobs that need done, let us know. And if you would like to help out, if you're a young person, come along and join in, get your hands dirty. Or if you're an older person who would like to come on and help out as well, speak to us as well. We would love to have your help. So that's Hollywood Help this coming Friday and Saturday. There was one other thing I was supposed to... Oh, yes. Boys and girls, listen up. Hot off the press, breaking news. Holiday Bible Club this year theme has been decided upon, has been announced. Last year, we did Superhero Academy, which I think was the best yet. This year might even top that. We're going to go for Space Academy. So come along and learn how to be an astronaut. We're going to go nuts with NASA and Star Wars, brilliant, all sorts of things, as we learn how to be an astronaut. The church will not be a church for this week, it will be a space station as you come along. So put that in your diaries. Oh, I meant to write down the dates. It's the third week in August. No, it's not the second. First. The first full week in August. I'll pray, and then Alistair will have the date by the time I finish praying. But I want to leave you just with the verses that we read earlier on. In John chapter 11, verse 25, Jesus, speaking to Martha, said, "I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die." And so Jesus says, the resurrection changes everything. If we believe in that moment, the most momentous event in human history, when the Son of God was crucified, was killed, and came back to life, when Jesus died, not just death, Jesus died, but death died. He said, "I am the resurrection and the life. If you believe in him, you will never die." We have life eternal in Jesus. That is amazing. And we sing it and we can say and think about it as if it's ordinary news. It's not ordinary news. It is extraordinary news. It is the best news, the good news of the gospel. Believing in Jesus, what he did for us, dying, rising again, we have eternal life in him. And Jesus finishes those verses by saying, "Whoever lives by believing in me will never die." And then he says, "Do you believe this?" And as we leave, that's my question to you. Jesus' question to you. Do you believe this? Maybe you do believe it. Do you really believe it in your heart of hearts as we face tomorrow, as we face the world? Do you really enter life believing and knowing and trusting Jesus died, rose again. I am walking in newness of life. The old has gone, the new has come. Maybe you've never believed or trusted in Jesus. You've never really thought about what the resurrection means. Question for you this morning, do you believe this? Maybe this morning, what a morning to be a morning when you go from your old life to a new life in Jesus. Maybe you would put your faith and trust in him. And if that's something you're thinking about, we would love to talk to you at the end of the service, myself or Alistair or anybody. So let's pray as we finish our time this morning. Let's pray. Father, thank you. We thank you so much for what we can celebrate this morning. This is no ordinary news. This is the best news ever. That the Son of God would love me so much that he would give himself up for me. And that he did not stay dead, but he is risen. And he is risen indeed. We thank you. Hallelujah, Jesus. We praise you that if we trust in you, we have new life and assurance of life everlasting. Forever and ever we will be with you. And we thank you that all the old sinful things in this world are coming untrue. You are bringing a new world, a new life, a new way, your kingdom through the resurrection of Jesus. And we thank you and want to praise you and give you all the worship and all the glory this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Do we have the dates? 5th to the 9th of August. Let's get that in your calendar. That is the date for the Holiday Bible Club in the morning, soccer school in the evening. Big week, 5th to the 9th of August. Thank you.